Hello, this is U Media Radio. Today is March 4th, 2016. I'm Julie Kozlowski from U Media Chicago, and today we've gathered together members of our community of practice from the U Media Learning Labs Network to talk about planning for the summer. Today we're joined by Callie Freeman. She's a librarian one and Createch studio manager at the St. Paul Public Library. We also have Yvette Garcia, who's the U Media manager at Chicago Public Library, and Sarah Winchowski, who is the maker programming project manager at the Free Library of Philadelphia. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So I thought we could start off by hearing from our guests today about what they have planned for the summer at their site. So Callie, can you start us off?
Yeah, we've got a number of things planned. Institution-wide, we have summer reading programs have been a strong tradition in the library. And last year, we switched our program to something that we call Summer Spark, which is looking at not only reading but doing new things in the summer. So we are putting an emphasis on making and doing. So we have these kits for our youth, which may be making an animal out of Duplos or building a tower that's 3 feet high. And then for our teens, we have other options, which include, you know, using a new program or sharing a playlist. And so we're trying to engage teens more with technology and doing things besides just reading over the summer. So that's one thing we're excited about. And then Createch Studio itself, especially here at my location at Arlington Hills Community Center, we've got a lot of different programs that are happening this summer that I can elaborate on a little bit more later, but we've got maker camps. We have a STEPS camp, which we work with youth that are going into seventh grade, and we've partnered with the University of St. Thomas, their School of Engineering, to work on engineering projects, and they also get to go visit campus for the day to eat and kind of play and get some experience there. And we also have some kind of outdoor festivals and programs that we're planning. So we've got a lot of great things happening this summer.
That's awesome. That sounds like a really full summer.
It is going to be busy, but we're looking forward to it.
Great. Yvette, can you give us an overview of what's happening in Chicago for the summer?
Sure. This summer we're actually going to be trying something a little bit different and a little bit new. We're going to be focusing on travel as a theme and specifically traveling around the city. We want the teens here in Chicago to explore more about all the wonderful resources they have within the city of Chicago. And a lot of our programs are going to have components that will meet the service learning requirement for Chicago Public Schools as well. So we're hoping for lots of participation that way. We are also trying to break away from the traditional summer learning challenge that the Children's Services has. And so we are going to be documenting participation differently this year than in previous years. I think right now the biggest surprise is that we're not going to be tracking number of, like, books read or hours read, but it's going to be more about participation and exploring and finding your way.
Awesome. That sounds really exciting, too. And I'll get to see it firsthand, so I'm really excited about that.
So,
Sarah, what do you have going on in Philadelphia?
Yeah, so in Philadelphia, things are a little bit different. Our current focus is on creating a cross-generational program. And so just like the other two locations, summer is very different. We are across six different libraries and in North Philadelphia. And what tends to happen is that we do have a summer reading program, and we have it for elementary age as well as younger and as well as teens and adults. So what our goal is, we aren't intimately involved with that, but our goal for the summer is to, well, we have a couple of things going on because we have a couple of libraries that are closing, and so there's a lot of transition. And so what we're doing is trying to strengthen our collaborations over the summer with summer reading, with there's an organization or a group within the library called LEAP, which is basically an after-school program that helps kids with homework. And so we're trying to bring Maker to this program. And because the other part of where we're at is that we're kind of in this flux of grants And so when we were trying to figure out how we can incorporate Maker so that it's an integral part of all of the libraries and not just in North Philadelphia. So that's our focus for the summer, is to integrate our program and not have it be something that's just in North Philadelphia, but have it be system-wide. So in preparation for that, we are doing an all-staff day and doing training with all the staff and doing workshops. And also we've been to a couple of, because there's 54 libraries in our system. So it's a very large system, and sometimes it can get very discombobulated just when you're trying to do something across all of the locations. And so that's really our goal, is like very clear communication and "you can do this" attitude for the staff of the library system. So that's kind of our goal for the summer. The other part is that there's a lot of, what happens is there's a lot of free programming in the morning, but there is very little for people to do under the age of 18 in the way of free programming in the afternoon. So our focus will be in the afternoon, and another focus is going to be on storytelling. So everybody has a story to tell, and you can do that in a lot of different ways. So we are having people come in and, you know, we're doing movies and we're doing comics, and we're having people draw stories and write poems, and in all different ways. Like, what is the story of the library? What is your personal story? What is your family's story? And what does a picture tell you as a story? What can it do? So it's not as simple and concise, and it doesn't really have a name. I don't have a name for it. But that's kind of it. This summer is kind of a mishmash of a lot of things, and also a recalibration of our program a little bit, because a couple of the libraries that we're in, there is some transition. So.
Great. Well, I mean, that's exciting, though, all these changes that are coming together. And I'm kind of interested about that, too, in the sort of larger sense that a lot of, because we have all library people on the podcast today, that shift from just traditional reading summer programs to this idea of making and doing and creating and exploring. And just I'm curious, you know, how long have you been doing your program sort of shifting into this more maker kind of space as opposed to just traditional reading, and, you know, how has that looked for you all? And Sarah mentioned this issue, too, of getting staff up to speed with all of these new ideas and getting staff prepared for the summer, too. So I'm hoping you all could talk a little bit about what that has looked like for you all in your institutions.
Here at St. Paul Public Library, and I'm hoping that I'm right on this, I'm still fairly new to the system, but I believe that Summer Spark started last summer, so it was our first summer, so where we were moving more towards making and doing along with traditional reading programs. And, you know, there's lots of activities that we have going on for youth, for kids especially, related to Summer Spark as well. But one of the things when it involved with the making activities is they created kits that went out to each of the libraries. So one of them was like plant a seed. And so we had, you know, some of that kind of peat stuff and seeds and cups that came with it. And then somebody came out with the kit and kind of walked the staff through all of the different activities for the youth program. And then for the teens, because we have the Createch studio space here at Arlington Hills, they just kind of let us figure out how to do it. But at some of the other sites, there may have been some more coaching with that. So specific kits were created with supplies that were needed to support the making activities, and then some training was also involved.
And I'm curious, too, because that sounds like a really awesome system. Are you seeing that filter into the rest of your year as well in terms of, you know, staff professional development and ways of supporting your staff in introducing these kinds of activities at other locations?
We've got kind of maker breaks that happen over our spring and our fall breaks also that go to libraries where we engage our youth in kind of making programs as well. So we're focusing on it in a lot of different ways. And I think, yeah, staff are getting more comfortable. And it's a fun thing too, because, you know, youth can do that at the library. They can also do it at home with their families. And so it's a chance to kind of try and experiment in new ways, both in the library and in their own homes as well.
That's great. And I'm curious, Yvette and Sarah, if you wanted to jump in and just talk about that, you know, shift from traditional library reading summer programs to more of the making that you're doing in your location.
Sure, absolutely.
Go ahead.
So this is Sarah from Philadelphia, and another way that we kind of look at the summer as is when Kelly was saying about experimenting and things being different, that's kind of also something that we use during the summer, because during the school year, there's a very different clientele patron base, it seems like, in our area, so where we service currently, that lots of people don't come that come during those 9 months that are considered the school year, and then there's a very different group of people that come into the library during the summer months. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, but it does give us an opportunity to try things differently, you know, and do things that are different, because the other piece is because we're trying to do this intergenerational programming, and especially during the week, during the school year, it is very difficult to get adults in North Philadelphia to come to programming, because they're working. They're just not available. Even older teens aren't available because if they have to take care of younger siblings, or they have after-school activities or things like that. So the summer is very different. We definitely get a different mix, and we get an opportunity to experiment and try things that we might not otherwise get to do during the September to June timeframe.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting, but I wanted to just give Yvette a chance to jump in if she wanted to say something about that shift to more maker activities.
Yeah, so here at Chicago, the idea of blowing up summer programming and doing more kind of hands-on maker type of activities started, I want to say maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, with the complete redesign of the Children's Summer Reading Program and calling it a learning challenge instead, so that way there would be more hands-on activities. And just when things were starting to get settled with that, that's when Chicago Public Library opened its Maker Lab for adults. And so all the maker activities, again, started coming at it from all different directions. And, I mean, obviously we've got U-Media that is, you know, 5 to 6 years old, and we're starting to increase our STEM programming here. But, again, it's all hands-on. So here at Chicago, we're attacking this sense of hands-on, interactive, let's learn by doing type of programming for all audiences in various different projects, and developing programming for all ages, for families. And then many times in the actual branches, when we have a maker activity, it turns into this family activity, because we've got multi-generations there at one program. Because we've had a rollout of mini maker labs that stay at a branch for 8 weeks. And although the intent was to have those programs for adults, depending on the community, it can vary from middle schoolers to teens to adults and seniors with middle schoolers and teens. So they're just getting a wide variety of audiences. And so we've had to just kind of shift our programs so that way they can satisfy the needs of the audience no matter the age.
Yeah, and maybe we can dig a little deeper into that too. It sounds like, especially Sarah talking about this intergenerational programming that they're really focusing on, and even Callie and St. Paul talking about youth and teens, and maybe there's some component for adults in there too. I'm curious, you know, what does that mean for your programs? Sarah mentioned seeing different patrons during the summer as opposed to during the rest of the school year, and I'm just hoping you all could speak to that a little bit.
Sure. So one of the areas that we are of programming that we at our community center are really working on is tween programming, which at our site is basically 8 to 11 because we start letting youth into Createch Studio, which is our teen space, at the age of 12. And so we're looking at opportunities in our what we call tween time as kind of a feeder program to get folks interested, these kids interested in making and doing and using technology so that by the time they are old enough to come into Createch Studio, they're ready and raring to go. So we have a Maker Camp program that is happening this summer that we with a grant and then partnering with students from the University of St. Thomas's School of Engineering. There are five different libraries that are going to have maker camps 4 days a week, one day a week, and they're going to have four different activities to engage tweens. And then here at Arlington Hills, with our partnership with Parks and Recreation, we got some extra money where we are going to be extending that partnership to be 4 days a week. So one day will be officially maker camp, and then 3 days of additional tween time programming, which allows us to really engage these kids and get them excited and ready for Createch. The other way that our kind of population looks different in the summer is we've got our typical hours, which kind of stayed that after school hour programming here at Createch Studio, but we have the opportunity to bring in outside organizations to do camps and to use our space, and so we're bringing in youth with that SETS camp that I had originally talked about at the beginning that are coming from the east side where we are located, but also all over the city and in suburbs. And so we're bringing different kids that would never come to Arlington Hills Community Center in, and they're using our space and they're getting to know our staff. And so that's a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. And it sounded a little bit like Sarah was saying that in Philadelphia as well, that that just the sort of pathways that people take in the summer are so different from the rest of the school year. And I'm curious, Sarah, if you could say a little bit more about that, if the young people that you're seeing in your after-school programs throughout the school year, if those are young people that are attending schools maybe in the area, maybe they don't live in that area, and just what your sense is of why you're seeing such different populations of young people in the summer versus the school year.
Sure. So the populations that we serve, North Philadelphia is a very economically repressed part of the city. And so what tends to happen, in some ways is unfortunate, but it's an advantage, you know, for the kids in the neighborhood that we're doing maker programming because they can't or don't want to go home after school during the week. And maybe they're not allowed to go home. Maybe, you know, it's not necessarily a safe place, or they can't get into their home because there isn't an adult there. So what we see a consistent set of faces during the school year, and it's really is very localized to the community, like even to the micro community, where if one library is closed, they will not go to the other library that's less than a mile away. And so, but what we've kind of is where maybe they go and visit family over the summer, and so they would stay for the summer somewhere else because that is something that has been talked about quite often. It's not like they go on vacations, but they go and stay with family somewhere else for the summer months for various reasons. That's one way that we also, if parents have seasonal jobs, then that's a different way. So maybe during the school year there are things for them to do, but then in the summer they have a summer seasonal job, and so that isn't something that they get sent to one of those free camps in the morning, and then they have nowhere to go in the afternoon. So those are two of the ways that we have seen a different group of individuals that we have documentation for. So, and another thing that I was just thinking of is because I was talking about those summer reading programs and not being involved, our goal for the past three summers, so we started in 2014, trying to integrate Maker into the summer programs, and to have, like Yvette was talking about, having those hands-on opportunities. So we have tables in the library near the summer reading tables, and then we do those hands-on activities and have materials nearby. So if people come in for the summer reading program, you know, just to get their things stamped or whatever, that we are available to do hands-on different things with them.
Great. And Yvette, I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit more about the sort of intergenerationalness or how the populations look different for teen services in Chicago in the summer as opposed to the rest of the year.
Yeah, populations shift during the summer in Chicago, especially for teens, because we have a lot of selective enrollment high school. And so teens travel to schools outside of their neighborhood, and they may go to a library near their high school as opposed to near where they live or somewhere in between. And because they're students, they also get, you know, reduced transportation or whatnot. And in the summer, that transportation resource isn't necessarily there for them. Also, their just travel patterns aren't the same. So some branches will see an increase or decrease in teens, and others will see the opposite because they're no longer either crisscrossing the city or they're choosing to go to a library near their home as opposed to their school. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Also, last summer we just opened up a brand new branch in Chinatown, and I think the summer before that we opened up a new branch in another neighborhood, and so we'll naturally see a spike in people coming to those branches for the first couple of years, and then eventually they taper off. So it's kind of an interesting traffic patterns here in Chicago over the summer as opposed to during the academic school year.
Yeah, and I'm curious how all of these kind of different patterns of engagement affect the participation or the level of participation that your young people have in your different kinds of programs. You know, are teens or young people more apt to, like, really delve in deep and do more intensive kind of programs, or if it's more kind of drop-in and you see these people occasionally but maybe, you know, once or twice a summer, or are you seeing young people every single day, the same people throughout the summer, and maybe that population is just different from the rest of the school year? So I'm wondering if you all could talk about that. Like, what does that engagement look like at your space?
Within CreateX Studio, I would say that our teens that come in the summer are, for the most part, and we've got a lot of the same things that are going on with Sarah and Yvette's neighborhoods. We've got teens that a lot of our teens actually go down to Chicago for the summer to stay with family, and there's a lot of shifts in our neighborhoods as well. But I would say that during our regular CreateX Studio hours, we are seeing a lot of the same youth. We are kind of a constant in their lives. It's, you know, it's a lot of the same, the regular staff and regular mentors, and so this is a place where they hang out. We are also located in a community center, so we've got a gym that's right next door to us, and we've got a lot of summer sports and activities that are happening here. So we see a lot of the same teens from our neighborhood. I would say where the shift happens is within the special programming that we bring within the space. And different partnerships we may have that also brings other youth into the space.
Yvette and Sarah, do you have anything to say about that sort of teen engagement piece, if that looks different for your young people during the summer than the rest of the year?
Sure. This is Sarah from Philly. I would say that the shift from the fall, winter, spring to summer and the specialty programming, that doesn't matter throughout the summer, fall, winter. One thing that we have kind of come to realize that when we do, just based on the patrons that we support, we can't do specific workshops and expect people to sign up and attend. It has to be all drop-in. And whoever we get is whoever we get. Now, during the school year, you can kind of know on a week-to-week basis, okay, on Tuesdays we get 20 kids, and on Wednesdays we get 5. So we would tend to do, if we were going to do a workshop type of setup, that we would do it on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday, because we know that it would serve potentially 20 individuals instead of 5. So, but that very specific programming, it doesn't work to have sign-ups and be very specific, because just for our area, it doesn't work.
And we're quickly running out of time, so I was hoping before we all depart that you all could tell us about one kind of big, exciting thing that you're really looking forward to this summer. I know for me, when summer comes around, I think warm weather and being outside and, you know, swimming and sports and all of the exciting things that I haven't been able to do because I've been cooped up inside for so long. So I'm just curious for you all if you have any like specific summer program that you are particularly excited about that you're going to be working on with your young people this summer.
Yeah, we here at Cratech partner with SPNN, which is the St. Paul Neighborhood Network, which is a nonprofit community media center, which we do a lot of partnering with. And last summer, we partnered with them to create an event called Movies, Munchies, and Music. And what it is it was an outdoor event where we had kind of a talent show portion. We had youth-made film that we put on the outdoor screen, and we partnered with a youth serving like urban farming organization to provide food, and then had a lot of youth serving organizations table and do activities where there was like a passport system where teens would go around and do a certain amount of activities, and then they got their food ticket and they could have their food. And we're doing it again this year, and we're really excited. We got 150 people last year. This year we're going to be doing it on National Night Out, so we're hoping that we can get more folks from the neighborhood just because more people are out and about on that night. And we're really looking forward to it. We're always excited in Minnesota to be outside and enjoying the warmth and sun. And so we're doing it again this year in August, and we're really excited about it.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yvette or Sarah, do you have a highlight coming up in the summer that you're really excited about?
I can go next. This is Yvette. This summer in Chicago, we're going to be encouraging teens to contribute to 18 traveler's guides, and it's going to give them the opportunity to show off their neighborhood and their community. So we're hoping to get a lot of good insight as to what our teens' interests within the various different communities and what they think are the hot spots, the places that you can't miss, you have to go check out. So, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too, because I might take some of those recommendations.
Oh, exactly. And I just know that what we think of, like, oh, we have to check this out, and, you know, this neighborhood is probably not going to be what they recommend. So I'm really curious to see what kind of, like, community hotspots they're going to recommend and list and gems we can discover.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, what about you? What are you excited about for the summer?
Yeah, so most of our libraries are very urban locked, and so there isn't a lot of green space, and we're not allowed to take people out of the library to do programming, like out to the street or and so one of the things that I'm very excited about is that we've been doing some very small gardens, like hay bale garden type things, on very, very small scale that's on the property of the library, because we can't do any of those wonderful things without, like, parental permission for people under the age of 18, et cetera. And since it is drop-in, we have a hard time getting those consent forms to, you know, do. But I'm really excited that we are expanding our gardening programming to do some, like, container gardens and things at almost all of our locations. And because the people that come, it's kind of like a lost art to garden. And they are just so excited to get their hands in the dirt. In some ways, I think it's a little weird, but I just love to talk to them too. So maybe I it's just weird that people don't stick their hands in the dirt. But you just see on their faces. I mean, I have pictures from last year of them. So, and then the locations that we have actually had a garden, we were asked by the library staff to expand it. And we also have been able to connect with a couple of different groups within the library system that received grants from, like, the Horticulture Society. And they don't have a space at all, and so we're partnering with them. They're starting seeds, and then we are kind of the feeder. Like, we are going, they're going to feed us plants so that we can do more with this gardening project. So that's the thing that I'm really excited to see. Patrons and see the results of all the hard work throughout the summer.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like we all have really exciting things to look forward to this summer, which is still, it feels so far away right now. It's still the beginning of March, and there's still, like, snow on the ground, and it's cold, but
it's giving us hope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wanted to thank you all for joining us on this podcast today. This podcast, along with other conversations with community members from the UMedia Learning Labs community of practice, are all available at community.umedia.org. There's also a great discussion forum there, so I hope anyone listening to this is able to check that out. So thank you again for everyone jumping on and having this conversation today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.